running a software company, there's so many different things that can be thrown at you and so many different challenges you have to face, hurdles you have to overcome. It's so frustrating sometimes. And a lot of times we don't know how to get over some of those hurdles or how to face those challenges and what to do. Well, Luca, he's the CEO of Journey. He started this thing and they had some definite challenges early, and he shares exactly what they went through and how they overcame it. I think a lot of this is going to apply to many of you out there. So if you're facing some of these same startup challenges that everybody's facing, Luca walks you through exactly what they did to gain success. So check this out.
Welcome to Scale Your SaaS, the podcast that gives you proven techniques and formulas for boosting your revenue and achieving your dream exit. Brought to you by a guy who's done just that multiple times. Here is your host, Matt Wallach.
Hello and welcome to Scale Your SaaS. Thank you very much for joining us. I am Matt. I am your host and I am delighted that you are here. By the way, if this is your first time here, what we do is we help you understand how to do exactly that, how to scale your SaaS through great lead generation, awesome ways of closing deals, and incredible opportunities to scale your team. If you want any of those things, definitely hit the subscribe button right now. That way, you'll be notified of any new episodes and you'll be able to level up with us. And one of the amazing guests that we have for you today, or the amazing guest that's going to be one of them along our entire season, is Luca Zambello. Luca's with me, and this guy is a rock star. Luca, how are you doing today?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you for being here. Let me make sure everybody knows who you are, Luca. So Luca, he's the CEO and co-founder of Journey. And as a leader in the SaaS space, particularly in transforming the hospitality industry through AI, Luca has been featured in Forbes, Entrepreneur, Bloomberg, and other major industry publications. Journey, this thing is a cutting-edge technology company dedicated to revolutionizing the hospitality industry by making AI, automation, and other complex technologies easily accessible and manageable. This company, Journey, it was born out of the desire to create a powerful, easy-to-use tool that would address the challenges faced by hospitality businesses, from small single Airbnb management companies, boutique hotels, to large-scale vacation rental companies. So when it comes to tech, when it comes to growing a company and how to help, especially his industry, the hospitality industry, Luca knows his stuff, and I'm delighted that he's here. So Luca, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Yeah, thank you for having me, and thanks for the great intro.
Yeah, you're welcome. It's awesome to be able to talk to you. So tell me, what have you been up to lately and what's coming up for you?
Yeah, a lot. I think like whenever you have a startup, there's like so many things to do. Like you always have those goals that you want to achieve, but then there's always new targets and new things that you have to do. The grind never stops.
So
I think
true.
In my head, and maybe many other entrepreneurs I had, you think that you're going to arrive to a stage in which it's like a little less of a grind, but I don't know. It hasn't happened to me yet. So I'm curious to see if I ever get to that point. And I have a feeling that it won't.
It's funny, the journey. And one of the things that I always laugh about with my startups is every day it's such a roller coaster, and something good happens and you think, oh, we're going to be super rich. And then something bad happens. You're like, let's shut it down. This is not going to work. And it's just such a switch of mindset. It's crazy, isn't it?
1,000%. That's exactly. Actually, my wife says that. Like, feels like one day we're going to be billionaires and the other day we're going to be homeless. It's like, you never know.
Exactly. But that's part of the fun.
And it can happen within the same day, too. Like, that's a funny thing.
100%. So true. So true. But so I want to ask you, what inspired you to start Journey?
We'll be right back.
Game changer in lead generation, Lead Feeder. One thing that's super frustrating when I work with clients is driving traffic to their website, but then not knowing who those visitors are. You can't tell who these companies are, but guess what? There is a tool and it's changing the game and supercharging your lead gen. It's called Lead Feeder. Now imagine having the power to identify companies visiting your website, track their behavior in real time, and seamlessly integrate it all with your CRM. Lead Feeder is not just a tool. This thing is your secret weapon for efficient and targeted
automated lead engagement. And what sets LeadFeeder apart? It's the ability to provide detailed insights into visitor behavior, helping your sales team prioritize efforts and close deals faster. This thing's got customizable notifications, lead scoring, GDPR compliance. It's loaded. LeadFeeder is really changing the game. If you're ready to revolutionize your approach to leads and deals, head over to leadfeeder.com for your free demo today. That's LeadFeeder.com. Don't miss out on the future of successful lead generation with LeadFeeder. And we're back.
Well, let me give you a little bit of background about myself. Like, so I'm originally born and raised in Italy. I moved to LA almost 15 years ago now. And I didn't move from there, basically. I arrived there and I stayed there. Really, the reason for me going there was because I wanted to become an entrepreneur. I went there to study, but I was always attracted by the tech space and how sometimes young kids with great ideas got massive funding and they were able to build amazing disruptive technologies and businesses. And so that's really what I wanted to chase. I didn't start really in the tech space, but I always had an eye for that. I stumbled into the short-term rental industry, Airbnb industry, very, very early on. Airbnb wasn't really yet a thing. My first business was literally I had built a landing page for luxury villas for short-term rentals to rent for both vacation rentals, production companies, and events. And the reason why I did that is because I stumbled into an opportunity in which I realized that short-term rental was done through brokers before in the luxury space. And I said, and I was myself looking for someone else for a luxury villa to rent online. I couldn't find anything. And I'm like, this is a great opportunity. Let me try to build a small database and launch a landing page and see what happens and pay for some ads. And that landing page did $1.2 million in revenue in year one.
Wow.
Very short-lived business because it literally lasted like 15 months. And then it became from very profitable to unprofitable to run ads because everyone jumped on the market. The market exploded. Airbnb became huge. VRBO started skyrocketing. Owners started becoming smart and listing their properties online. Then you had like companies like Luxury Retreats and One Fine Stay Income in LA. Like everything, literally within like 24 months, like the market environment completely changed, which showed me that the market in US is very different than the European market and how quickly it can move, right? And definitely not prepared on that. And I understood that sometimes raising money, that's the importance of raising money, is so you can move quicker than other people and get market advantage. But long story short, from there, I stayed in the business. I grew and scaled a management company in the short-term rental space up to 300 units. And I was really going after the raise venture money for that. And I was going after the raise. I don't know if you ever heard companies like Lyric, Sander, Vacasa. All these companies really tried to do fast-scale venture-backed businesses within this industry. But they all fail in one way or another. Even if some companies still exist and became decent size, but they didn't really make it happen. And one of the reasons is because the nature of the business is extremely fragmented. So we inherited technology from hotels, which is, I don't want to say inexisting, but it exists, but it's extremely fragmented. And then at the same time, like hotels have centralized operations, but short-term rentals are extremely fragmented. So you now have a fragmented environment and fragmented business. And so that's the number one reason why all these businesses fail. And then from there, I realized that there was an opportunity to start building technology. So because I couldn't find the technology for myself and realized that was going to be a roadblock for the entire industry, we tried to fix that problem ourselves first and then we basically became from a management company to a software company. Started building software for ourselves initially, and then eventually decided to start selling it to other companies.
I love it. I think that's always the best way. You saw the problem, you experienced the pain yourself, and now you realize, hey, we need a solution. There's nothing else out there. Let's build it. But then that also gives you such a powerful message to others when you're talking to them and you're selling the product. You can tell them, hey, we've been in your shoes. We've gone through these challenges. We know what it's like, and that's why this whole thing exists. So you're able to share kind of the journey of journey. I love it.
Yes.
And help them understand why you are the best one to be able to help them, right?
Absolutely. I think it's such a key thing. And sometimes, oftentimes you see people are trying to sell software in a space, but they don't have experience about the space. And it's an issue because you don't know the nuances of what it means to run that business and what the pain points are. Because you only know them if you really leave them, because you can just talk as much as you can with your customers, but sometimes you won't know everything until you've done it yourself. Absolutely.
Yeah, I totally agree. Totally agree. Okay, so you launched it. That's great. But there's probably some difficulty getting going. So what were some of the initial challenges? How did you gain traction in the early days?
A lot of challenges. it's been everything but easy. Because I never built a software company. I mean, I'm very connected in with good developers, like basically one of the partners is our CTO. So like from a technical standpoint, we're prepared, but nobody's ever built SaaS companies. We've experienced in software, but not in SaaS. And if you don't have experience in SaaS, it can be an issue in the beginning, because yes, you have to learn and you have to learn quickly. Part of the biggest challenge for us was like pivoting from a management company to a software company. So maintaining the same team. So a lot of people were not prepared to do this. We didn't hire right away the people that were prepared to run a SaaS company, and we didn't have experience ourselves. So that was like challenge number one. Challenge number two was that the software was built for ourselves and not our people. So while we thought that was great for us, which was, but it was clunky and not intuitive at all. Mm-hmm. And so that comes the UI, UX experience that you need to have, especially on a SaaS product, right? And so like we had to learn all of that very, very, very fast, because while we were pivoting the business, the economy flipped completely, and so funding wasn't as easy as to find, and in the end of the day, your business with baggage. Nobody wants to fund businesses with baggage, even though you're building something that is really the future of the industry. You're gonna find challenges, and so it was very challenging. We got to the other side, and we actually got insane amount of traction from the get-go. But we had issues because of we didn't have experience running a software companies for the reason that listed below, which is what caused having quite a bit of churn in the beginning, which was an issue. Because if we were prepared, we knew what we were doing from day one, we would have been massive from the get-go. Because what we're doing is really fixing a massive issue, which is the positive side of this. We now are on the other side of having fixed, 95% of those things, and now having figured out how to run a SaaS company. And so we're now on the much more aggressive growing stage of the company.
That's fantastic. Good job on fixing that, and kudos on some initial traction, but that churn is frustrating. I totally understand that. What did you guys do to turn the tide on that and fix that churn issue? How did you change that?
Yeah, it's interesting. One of the problems coming from being a management company is that you are a fixer, but in a different way. You kind of have to, your job is to find workarounds. Well, if you're running a software company, you have to do the exact opposite. You have to be proactive, or if you if you are reacting on something specific, you have to figure out how to fix it from its source. Where's the problem coming from? How can we fix it with the software? Well, we were used to be a management company that we were given a software and we had no say on it. Or if we had a say, it would take years for them to do something. So that mindset had to shift. And then the second biggest piece for us was creating ownership. Like customer success, I think, was a key component for us. We had customer success, but wasn't set up correctly. And so really for us to create a much larger team, like kind of like remove resources elsewhere and just focus it on the customer success. That was for us key because the product sells itself. So we really needed to focus on taking care of customers, feeling customers heard, and making sure that they know how to, because it's okay if your UI UX is not insanely perfect, because even companies that have been around for 10 years, they're sometimes harder to use, especially if they're complex for sure. Softwares, like think about a CRM. So you need to train them on how to use the software and eventually start working on creating more and more intuitive software, which become self-explainable and users can navigate and learn themselves. So those are kind of the steps that we did. But really, I say customer success, I wish we did it before. And the way we set it up now, because it's not even close to what it was in the beginning.
It's kind of funny the evolution your company goes through as you learn some of these things, isn't it? So I'm so glad that you guys figured out exactly what works for you guys in your industry. And it sounds like getting your customers to be raving fans, to be super excited and happy with what's going on and how you're solving their problems is great. Were those customers then going out and telling others about it? Were you getting any referrals?
Yeah, absolutely. That's one of the things that happened. And when you churn, is double trouble, because they leave, and then they also not talk good about you, right?
Yeah.
And well, on the other end, if you have a raving customer that loves your product, is going to go and tell other hosts and refer you business. We actually, because of it was highly requested, we build a brand ambassador program, which people can refer as business and make commissions on it. And so that's actually been a pretty successful, fairly young program, but it's getting a lot of traction. So we're excited.
Can you help us understand that, the brand ambassador program? Is that like an affiliate marketing play?
Yeah, it's like an affiliate marketing, exactly. It's an affiliate marketing, but it also like it brings additional advantages to those users using our product, including like early access to some releases, more heavier say on future roadmap. That's another thing we start doing, like being way more communicative with the users and our customers, and just making them feel part of a community. Our roadmap now is being decided by our customers.
I'm sure they love that.
They love that. Absolutely. And then we are sharing a lot more transparent. Like we were delivering new features and we wouldn't even announce them. Like it's like now there's a lot more communications. Like people feel a lot more engaged, a lot more heard. Because at the end of the day, you can even have the best software ever, but if customers don't feel taken care of, especially on the B2B, it's an issue.
I think that's one of the biggest shifts that I had to learn with my own products as well, was I always thought, oh, we need the most amazing software, we need the best system, and the tools got to do everything. And actually, I learned that if we have great marketing, great sales, and great customer success, we can be very successful, even if the product isn't perfect. Are you feeling the same way?
Oh, I couldn't agree more. I wish I knew that from when I started, honestly.
Exactly,
me too. Because they would have saved me a lot of money.
Yeah, I totally agree. So what steps have you taken? I want to just make sure that everybody can kind of grasp and download from you. What steps have you taken that you have felt have been so positive and successful toward the growth of your company that you wish you would have done more of, or you wish you would have learned earlier, other than what we just talked about?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it goes and said exactly what we talked about. I think that that's definitely number one. Number two is I probably would have start better communications with our customers, even on the roadmap. Oh, and I actually, this is a big one there. The ICP, ideal customer profile. I didn't know the importance of it until it cost me money of knowing the importance of it. But really focusing at first, it doesn't mean that your product cannot solve problems for a lot of people and for a wider market. But at first, you got to focus somewhere. Because if you don't, mm-hmm. and you're trying to do everything, you're going to do everything in a very mediocre way. And that's another thing that going back to the ICP is to build specific core functionalities that they are excellent. They are perfect specifically for that ICP and focus on that and selling that. Because the way I made it, I just have such long-term vision that sometimes I have issues looking at what's all the current problems, right? And so I focus on the big vision, but sometimes you have to focus on the smaller as well and delivering instant value to customers. And time to value, that's another thing that I learned that I wish I knew earlier, like get them to value as fast as possible. That's extremely important.
Definitely important. And I love that you said ICP. That's literally the first thing I work on with my clients is let's nail who our ideal customer profile is. Who are the personas we're going to talk to? Let's make sure we fully understand that because it plays so much into the product that you build and how you build it and the marketing and the messaging and all the sales communication. Everything goes right to that ICP. And it's so critical to have it right away.
Everything. Yes, exactly.
Awesome. I'm glad you agree. Okay. So, Luca, this is great stuff. So, as we wrap, what advice would you share with other software founders who are in their early days, they're getting started, and they want to create the type of success you've had?
I say be very honest to yourself on what it's going to take to do it. Entrepreneurs are extremely optimistic, usually, because otherwise, if you're not a little bit delusional, you're not going to be an entrepreneur, I think.
No doubt.
You have to be optimistic, because otherwise, if you are too realistic, you're going to be like, this is too hard. There's no way I'm going to do this. But I think I would, if I could, from the beginning with investors and everybody, I would tell people it is hard, and I'd rather wait to raise money, or to get people on board. But they need to know exactly what they're getting into, and they need to know exactly how long it's going to take. Because if you're too optimistic, and people are investing based on what you're telling them, or investing, it could be investors, but it could be like people that you hire, or anybody, or your customers, then you're just naturally speaking going to let people down, and you might lose credibility. Luckily, that wasn't my case, but I can see that being a very dangerous thing. So be very realistic and be very laser focused on solving one specific problem at first to one specific ICP. I think that's very important.
Great stuff. Luca, this is so awesome. And I really appreciate you coming in and sharing all of this with us. I want to make sure people can learn more about you as well as Journey. Where best can they find you?
Yeah, I think obviously that our website, journey.com, and subscribe to our newsletter. They're going to get definitely a lot of updates. And they can reach, I'm very active on LinkedIn. So definitely come find me on LinkedIn with Luca Zambello.
Okay, perfect. We'll put all that into the show notes, make sure that everybody can get there easily. So if you're listening right now, if you're watching, go check that out and you'll be able to find Luca. This guy's awesome. He's doing great stuff, running his company Journey, getting it to where it has to be. Luca, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It was fun questions and fun conversation.
Yeah, I super enjoyed it myself. And everybody out there, thanks for being here. By the way, make sure that you are subscribed so you don't miss out on any other amazing innovators like Luca coming on in the next few weeks. Thank you for being here. We'll see you next time. Take care.
Thanks for listening to Scale Your SaaS. For more help on finding great leads and closing more deals, go to mattwallach.com.